On this beautiful spring morning, I bid you welcome. I pour out these waters which signify our baptism. For many of us, that was many, many years ago. For some of us, it was a lot closer than that. But however many years we are separated from the moment of our baptism, when we gather here, we remember what our baptism means. God saying, "You are my beloved." And so we gather here because we want to give worship and praise and thanks to God, who has called each and every one of us the beloved. May the Lord be with you. Do please stand and join me in the call to worship. God is our refuge and our strength. God is a present helper through all of life. Even in our times of distress, God is with us. God is our comfort and worthy of our worship. The hymn is not actually hymn number 259. It is the same hymn, but it's a different tune and it's got an extra verse. It's hymn 260, so one page over. Hymn 260. Let us pray. We gather here, God, and we remember that you are a mighty fortress. You are hope. You are our confidence. In you we find our strength and the promise through Jesus Christ that you are going to send your helper to be with us in the power of your Spirit. So, God, be with us now. Be with us as we live through these difficult and trying days. Be with us as we welcome the coming of spring and summer. Be with us, God, in whatever each and every one of us is facing as we journey through life. Be with us in this moment, in this time. Accept our praise and our prayers and speak to us, we pray, through your word. Revive our confidence and renew our faith and our strength so that we may go into the world rejoicing to love and to serve you. And all of God's people said, please be seated. Good morning. And a very warm welcome into the house of God, and especially warm welcome is extended to you if you're visiting with us today. We bid you a warm welcome, and we invite you to join us for further fellowship through in Earman Hall immediately following morning worship this morning. You will notice that there are a number of announcements within our bulletin. Could you please note that also there are music and more signs. I always love when we come close to the beginning of music and more. A, because it's wonderful music, and B, because it tells me it's almost summer. Hands up, who feels like that? Amen. Amen. So that we can get as many people to come in and enjoy our wonderful Music and More program, we have the Music and More signs for the yard. There will be people at both the front door and the parking lot doors to hand out these signs. Please, if you or someone you know is able to display a sign in your yard, please will you take one, two, three, however many you would like to take, and make sure that the word gets out throughout the city with our signs. Trying to think if there's anything else in the bulletin that's worth mentioning. Yes, of course there is. Memorial Day plantings. A nice red, cheery sign. We will be planting shrubs, again, round at the side of the church. If you would wish to donate one in memory of someone, then please fill in this form and hand it in as soon as you possibly can. And if you're able to help next Monday, that would be fantastic. I have one extra announcement to make. And that is to say that Barb Rowe was taken into hospital yesterday afternoon. Barb has been treated for a UTI, and she asks at the moment that simply you keep her in your prayers, and hopefully Barb will get home as soon as possible. So please, prayers for Barb, as well as all the other people that are mentioned in the bulletin. Please do look at the rest of the announcements at your leisure as we continue to worship God in our call and prayer to confession.
If we claim that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Please join me in the prayer of confession. Merciful God, you are our comfort and our strength. Hear our prayer for the comfort we find in knowing you forgave us. When our confidence is shaken, when we endure uncertainty, and when we fear for the future, forgive our lack of faith. Bring us back to you and remind us that you are with us to comfort and to strengthen. God, grant us your peace and your forgiveness. Be present to us and with us every day of life. Show us the way to live and strengthen us for the journey of life. Through Jesus Christ, amen. Friends, hear the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thank you.
Please be seated. And let us pray. Spirit of God, moving within us and around us, moving through us and shaping us and forming us into the people that you want us to be. We rejoice, Spirit of God, that you also come into our lives and sweep away all that is wrong, the burdens that we carry, the guilt that weighs us down. You sweep that away, and you give to us the peace of knowing that we are forgiven, that a new beginning and a fresh start awaits us in this very moment, in this very place, in our very lives. God, come to us, we pray, by the power of your Spirit. Speak in and through your word and make us attentive to that word, that it may indeed encourage us and uplift us and be our strength as we live out these our days, the days that you have given to us. God, we ask these things in your Son's name. Amen. I have under the communion table with me this morning a bag, or in Scotland we call it a poke of things. And there are lots of different things, and they're things that we would use if we were doing a particular job. So say I wanted to cut something, what tool would I use? Taylor, scissors. Let me see if I've got scissors. Yes, I do. I have scissors. If we wanted to cut something, we would use scissors. If I wanted to write a letter, would I use scissors? No. What would I use? What tool or implement would I use to write a letter? Taylor? Sorry? A pencil. Absolutely. I would use a pencil or a pen. I heard that, Pat. I would use a pencil because I'm likely to make a mistake. And if I wanted to rub out a mistake, what would I use? The eraser. Yes. So, say I wanted to do some painting. Would I use a scissor or a pencil? Neither. What would I use? So, here's the thing. I couldn't find a paintbrush in my basement this morning. So, what did I find? Haha! Guess what color I've been painting? Blue. Blue. Choose a roller to paint. It's a tool for the job, isn't it? That gets the job done well. I mean, you wouldn't use a pair of scissors to paint a room. Not unless you were crazy. So, supposing I wanted, although generally I don't want to, but suppose I wanted to weed the garden. Hands up if anyone has dandelions in their yard. They're a nightmare this year. An absolute nightmare. What would I use to get rid of the dandelions? Spray them. In the event that you have dogs that you don't want to take any poisonous things into their system. So this is a very technical term I have for this tool. It's called a howker. A howker. A howker. A howker. You call that a spade. Linda, you call that a spade? No, it's a howker. Because you bend down and you howk them out. Don't say I don't teach you good Scottish words. This is a howker. And Jim Muir knows it, don't you, Jim? A good old howk. It's a very, very technical, sophisticated Scottish term. And it's a very, very technical tool that is used to get rid of these darn dandelions. So you're asking, did I bring this from Scotland? Or did I go into a shop and use that word? Neither. Because I'm pretty sure if I went to Milliger's and said, excuse me, do you have a howker? They may well call the police on me. I don't know. But it's a tool that we use to hook. And to hook something is to pull them out. And we use different tools for different jobs. Supposing I wanted to take a photograph, I wouldn't use any of these tools, would I? What would I use? I knew you were going to say a cell phone. Do you remember when we actually used these? Real live cameras to take photographs. And so here's my point. When we have a job to do the job to the best of our ability, we use the correct tool. Even if it's down to writing a letter, we don't write a letter with a hooker or a paintbrush. We write a letter with a pen or a pencil. We don't paint the walls with a camera. We paint the walls with a roller. And for each and every job that we are asked to do, there is a tool to it that helps us to do it better. So here's the thing. As people of faith, we are called to follow the commands of Jesus. We're going to read that in a couple of minutes. Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commands. You will do what I ask you to do. And here's the thing, we do have a job. As people of faith, we have a job to do. We have to keep the commands of Jesus, and the basic command is to love one another. To love one another. And my goodness, not only have we just to love people here, but we have to go out and we have to love everyone else. Hands up if you think that's a difficult job to do. I think that's a really difficult job to do. So you think perhaps we need a tool for that job? A special tool to help us? Well, I think we do. And amazingly enough, I think we have a very special tool. In fact, I think we've got two. One of them is this. The Bible. The Bible tells us what to do. But Jesus said, I'm going to give you something even better. I'm going to give you something even better than this word. It's going to enable you to do this job of keeping my commands and going out into the world and to loving and to be loving everyone. And Jesus said, the tool that I am going to give you is the Spirit. Now that's hard for us to understand. It's hard for us to understand that the Spirit is there, but boys and girls, grown-ups of all ages, Jesus has given us a special tool that enables us to do the job well. And that is the power of God's Spirit in our lives, enabling us to do what we don't even think we're capable of doing. To enable us to go into the world and to really love others. And that's hard. And we need someone to help us to do that. We need to feel that we have a companion and a helper that will give us the strength to do the job that just seems so difficult. Jesus said to his friends, the disciples, before he left them, he said, I want you to be sure of this. I am going to give you the Spirit, the helper, who's going to be with you, who's going to comfort you, who's going to strengthen you, and who is going to enable you to do the job that I want you to do, the job that I'm commanding you to do, to love one another. So whoever you are, whatever your age is, know that when you have this job to do, and we all have it, we have been given the right tool to do the job well. And that's the promise of God's Spirit with us forever. Amen. I want you to picture this scene. There are three men. These three men have been out hiking for hours. And suddenly, as they come to this point in their hike, they're faced with this raging torrent of a river. To complete their hike, they need to get to the other side of the river. And the three of them look at each other and they think, how on earth are we going to get across that river? It looks fierce, it's violent. How on earth can we cross that river? So the first man gets down on his knees And he prays to God and he says, "Dear God, give me the strength to cross this river. Amen." No sooner has he said amen than the man suddenly looks at his biceps, and they look like mine. They're huge. Really? He notices his muscles are bulging in his arms and in his legs. He dives into the water and he swims across. It takes him forever to get across, and several times he nearly drowns. But he gets across to the other side, out of breath, but in one piece. The second man sees that this has happened, so he falls to his knees and he says, "Dear God, give me the tools to cross the river." Amen. And as amen comes slipping out of his mouth, the man finds that there before him are all the tools that he needs, all the equipment, everything that he needs to build a boat. He quickly builds the boat, throws it all together, throws it into the river. He gets in and he rows across the river, giving it body and soul into it. Several times the torrent is so strong that the man thinks he's going to capsize, but no, he gets to the other side. Weary and exhausted, but he's done it. The third man looks at what has happened. He falls on his knees and he says, "Dear God, make me wise enough to cross this river. Amen." Within a nanosecond, the man is transformed into a woman. She looks at the map, notices there is a bridge 100 yards upstream, and crosses it to safety in seconds. I know that men don't always like to look at maps. They don't like to ask directions. And if I'm really honest, women are no better. We like to think we know, don't we? We like to think that we know best. We like to think that we can manage on our own. And the reality is that we can't, whoever we are. The life of faith is a hard life. The journey that is set before us is difficult, and my goodness, it feels like it's getting more difficult by the day. Religions of all hue and color are coming under pressure. Religion gets a really bad name, and keeping the faith now is exceedingly difficult. We're called to love one another. Sometimes we behave like we don't even like one another. We think we can make it on our own, and God knows we can't. When Jesus was about to leave the disciples, he sat with them and he spoke to them, and he knew that the way ahead was going to be really, really difficult. I love the sheer humanity of Jesus Christ and the sheer humanity of the disciples, and the fact that Jesus Christ could look into each and every one of our hearts and know that the journey of faith was going to be hard. And knowing this, Jesus said to the disciples, "I'm going to leave you, but you're not going to be on your own. I'm going to leave you with a helper. A helper who is my spirit that's going to be with you forever." Because what Jesus was saying was, you can't do it on your own. You need direction. You need help. And that's okay. And I'm going to provide it. Jesus promises the wonderful gift of the helper, the comforter, the advocate, the counselor, whatever word you want to give for the Spirit. Spirit is the tool that we need for the job, the companion on the journey who enables us to keep the faith. Let us read from John's Gospel, chapter 14, and we're going to read from verse 15. This can be found on page 109 of the Pew Bibles. This is Jesus about to leave his friends. Imagine how frightened you might feel. You have given up everything to follow this man. Everything. Family, work, friends. You've invested your whole self in this man. And he has just told you that he's going away. Imagine your fear. Imagine your uncertainty. And imagine how you would and how you do feel as each of you face your own uncertainties and fears, hearing these words of Jesus Christ. "If you love me," said Jesus, "you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while the world will see me no longer, but you will see me because I live. You also will live. And on that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them." Amen, and thanks be to God. My sermon title this morning is "Your Biggest Fear." Your biggest fear. I wonder what it is. I wonder what your biggest fear is. It's quite a thought, isn't it? So, Charlie Brown was once chatting with Lucy. Charlie Brown is always that sort of little sensitive soul. And Lucy says to him, "Charlie, are you claustrophobic?" And he says, "Well, maybe. What does that mean?" She said, "Well, it's fear of closed spaces." Charlie says, I could be. Mm-hmm. Then she says, "Are you agoraphobic?" And he says, "Well, what's that?" "Is that fear of open spaces?" Oh, he says, "I could be." And she goes through all these different phobias, and Charlie Brown is kind of uncertain about any or all of them. And she says, "Charlie Brown, are you pantophobic?" Charlie says, "Lucy, I have no idea what that means." Lucy says, "It means, are you frightened of everything?" And Charlie says, "Yes, that's it. I'm pantophobic." Sometimes we are afraid of everything. Life fills us with fear. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but metaphorically to think inside, are you afraid of the future? I am, a little. When I was a little girl, I was afraid of the dark. Hands up if you've ever been afraid of the dark. I used to have my father come in to my bedroom every night and check with me underneath the bed to make sure there were no monsters that could get me during the night. I was so afraid of the dark inside that I preferred to be outside in the dark. It's silly, isn't it? Darkness is darkness. But then who said that our fears were not silly? Sometimes our fears are silly, and sometimes they're not. But I ask you again, what's your biggest fear? They say that babies are born with three fears: the fear of falling, the fear of loud noises, and the fear of being left alone. And we acclimatize our babies. And I'm acclimatizing a baby at my home at the moment. He's a four-legged baby. And I'm trying to acclimatize him to not being afraid of loud noises. And with babies of all types, they become accustomed to loud noises and they overcome their fear. And they overcome their fear of not being dropped, because we don't drop them. Care for them. And they learn trust. But that last fear is a fear that most of us never actually overcome. The fear of being alone. More than being alone, the fear of being abandoned. Jesus knew about that. Isn't it amazing that this ancient book and words spoken by a man 2,000 years ago still speak to us 2,000 years later? Still speak to the very heart of humanity, because when Jesus is talking about leaving them, he understands that their greatest fear, as our greatest fear often is, I will not leave you orphaned. I will not abandon you. Here is the promise of Jesus Christ. Do you ever feel abandoned? Do you ever feel alone? Many, many people do. There are many people who feel abandoned when they lose their job. It just goes. And they wonder, do I have enough to live on for the rest of my life? There are many parents that feel abandoned because their children never phone just to say hi. There are people who feel abandoned when they're going through difficult times and they feel lost and alone as they are facing terrible, terrible illness. And then there's the widower who sits down to the lonely meal at night that for 40, 50, or 60 years they have shared with their life's partner. It is our greatest fear. And speaking into that greatest fear is the promise of Jesus. I won't leave you alone. I am with you. To the person that is walking through the dark and the difficult and the lonely time of depression or addiction or illness or perplexity or confusion or redundancy or just whatever you want to add at the end of that sentence, here is the promise of Jesus Christ. I will not leave you alone. I am with you. And it's that spirit that enables us to continue our journey of life. It's that spirit that brings out the best in us as we try to follow the commands of Jesus Christ to love one another. There's a lovely story told of a student who spent their summer working on a Native American reservation with the Navajo Indians. And that student was there all summer and stayed in one of the homes of the families on the reservation. And the young student and the grandmother in the home became really good friends. They really warmed to one another. But here's the interesting thing. The student couldn't speak Navajo, and the old Navajo grandmother couldn't speak English. But over the summer, they found ways to communicate and be companions and friends to one another. And as the summer slipped by, they picked up some phrases from each other. And when the time came for the young student to leave the reservation, he went to this adopted grandmother. He gave her a hug, and she said this to him. She said this as he left. I like me best when I'm with you. I like me best when I am with you. Because this woman brought out the best in him and she, in him and him in her. My friends, I think all of us can say, I like me best when we are with the Spirit. Because then we know that we're not on our own. Then we know that we have the strength for the journey. Then we know that we have a companion to walk with us, even through the times when we feel abandoned by all others. I like me best when I'm with the Spirit. Because then I know, and you can know, the strength and the companionship and the courage for this journey of faith. Amen. May the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. As you exchange the peace with one another, I invite the children to leave for confirmation and Sunday school. We sing together the hymn that is in our bulletin, Spirit of Truth and Grace. The ushers, please uplift the offering.
ice are raindrops on my window. Joy is like the rain. Laughter runs across my pain, slips away and comes again. Joy is like the rain.
I saw clouds upon a mountain. Joy is like a cloud. Sometimes silver, sometimes gray, always sun. I saw Christ in wind and thunder. Joy is tried by storm. Christ asleep within my boat, whipped by wind yet still afloat. Joy is tried. I saw raindrops on my window. Joy is like the rain. Bit by bit the river flows, till all at once it overflows.
Please be seated. As we draw close to God with our prayers, we continue to remember Larry Cardwell as he recovers from surgery, and Adrian back home with Pat. Ollie Hopkins is now in Ridgewood for rehabilitation. And of course, we remember Barb Rowe as she is in hospital at this time. These are the names we mention aloud, but there are many names known to each and every one of you of people who are in need of comfort and strength, of reassurance, of the knowledge that God is with us. As our first hymn said, a mighty fortress is our God, a God who is never failing. Just got a little aside to say about that. That's not a hymn I would normally choose. But there's something on my heart this morning that I thought, this last week, that I thought this really is appropriate. This sense of God as our refuge and our strength, a present helper, and that in Jesus Christ that helper is promised to be with us. And how as the people of God, we long to know that as we live through what are for many people very difficult and trying days, that God is a mighty helper, a present helper, a comfort. This last week at Bible study, some of the ladies who were there said, "Do you believe in the Spirit? Do you believe that the Spirit really leads you and guides you and helps you?" And I said, "Eventually, yes. Eventually, when we're open to it." And a curious thing happened this morning because I was checking back in Scotland. This is the beginning of the General Assembly of the Church of Scotland. We meet every year. And I was looking at some of the worship in that beautiful St. Giles Cathedral. And the opening hymn was, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." And it was something about that that really touched my heart. And I thought, that is the Spirit moving. Because it reminds me that we are joined with people all over the world. People of faith. Who hold on to their hope that God is a mighty fortress and a very, very present helper. The helper that was promised in the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. God, you are indeed a mighty fortress. You are our strength. You are our rock. You are the immortal and the invisible. You are from everlasting to everlasting. You are mighty and majestic and glorious. And to these words, we could add many, many more as we try to even begin to describe who you are. But this day, God, we rejoice that in all the ways that you can be described, you can be described as our companion. Jesus promised the disciples that we would never be left alone. And God, we lay hold of that promise this very day, that you are right here with us. You are our strength. You are our companion. You are our hope, and you are the hope of the people throughout this world. For in you is life. In you is love. In you is peace and unity. God, be our companion, we ask of you. Enable us to do the job set before us, to follow your commands, to live our lives loving one another, reaching out to friend and to stranger, to building bridges, not walls, to caring for the vulnerable, not leaving them even more vulnerable, to reach out to those who feel alone and fearful. Take us and use us, God, for this work. We ask, God, that you would be a companion to everyone everywhere. Give strength to those who defend this country and other nations as they work for peace and security. Be a companion to those who stalk the corridors of power and guide them, we pray, in your ways. Be a companion to those who walk the path of addiction and who seek healing and freedom. Be a companion to those who are going through grueling regimes of chemotherapy or radiotherapy, or that great, great fear, uncertainty. Be the companion to those who have lost loved ones. Be our companion, God. Walk with us through the days that are set before us. Give us courage and strength for the journey. And remind us that we are joined with your church throughout this world, praying this day for peace for hope, for your kingdom truly to come here on this earth, and for your will to be done. God, hear these our prayers, and hear us now as with one voice we say the prayer that Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. We sing the first four verses of the closing hymn, and then the sung blessing will be the last verse. How firm a foundation. Go now into the world. Go into the world with courage and with strength, and know that the presence of God's Holy Spirit is with you forever to be your companion on the journey. And as you go, may the blessings that come from God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, may these blessings descend upon you, upon those most dear to your heart, and upon all God's people everywhere, today, tomorrow, and forevermore. Amen. peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.